Okay, I'm here with Scott Eckert, new CEO of Miracle America. So welcome, Scott.
Thank you, Rick. Delighted to be with you.
Yeah, you've, you know, Miracle has had a journey in the North American market from originally being founded as a French company, now worldwide platform vendor across a number of things. We're going to talk a little bit about your motivations for joining Miracle, a little bit about your background, and then kind of get into some future elements. So excited to talk to you today.
Thanks, Rick. Me too.
Let's start with the basics. I mean, I'm quite confident that most of the audience knows who Miracle is, but wanted to start at the basics. How would you define Miracle as a company?
So Miracle creates an e-commerce platform focused on marketplaces. And so Miracle provides the software for retail operators to create marketplaces and the software for their sellers to connect into those marketplaces, and has been doing it for 12 years.
Right. No, that's great. And where, you know, obviously started as a French company, but has expanded around the globe. What regions are you operating in today?
Yeah, it's interesting. It did start as a French company. 80% of the business now is outside of France. And so it's fair to call it a global company. It's in most European markets. I, of course, am responsible for Canada, U.S., and Latin America. We have a presence in Japan. We have a presence in Asia, too. So it's expanded quite a bit.
No, that's, and I think it's interesting to hear. It's surprising to me hearing how much of the business is global. In terms of customers that you're looking for, how would you describe your ideal customer?
Well, we have, I'd say there, because we support both ends of the marketplace, there's two different definitions of that. We're looking for retailers as retail operators of a pretty broad range in size. Obviously there's large retailers in the US, but there's a pretty long tail. There's hundreds of retailers that would do over 100 million of GMV online in a year. And anybody of that size or bigger is a great target for Miracle. And then on the other side, we provide software to the sellers that connect into those marketplaces, and those have an even broader range from brands you would know to pretty small mom and pops with a killer product that needs the right channel.
That's cool. And how's your company charge customers? Like, what's the general pricing model for Miracle?
It's pretty straightforward. It's a software subscription, and we take a small piece of the transactions and go through the network. So software subscription for both the operator as well as the seller, and then a pretty small percentage share.
Got it. Okay. I think that gives me a pretty good idea of kind of Miracle at a high level. Wanted to shift gears a little bit to kind of get into your background, why you joined Miracle. You've been at some pretty big companies and also some different companies like Dell, Walmart, Rethink Robotics. What are you bringing from those companies to Miracle?
So I've got experience from large companies, obviously like Walmart. It's hard to get any bigger than that. And I'm a serial entrepreneur and have built and sold a couple of companies too. It's a pretty different perspective. But in all cases, it's about bringing technology into either places that it didn't exist before or new uses for that technology. And that's what's exciting to me and was exciting about the Miracle opportunity. Arthur C. Clarke had an often quoted phrase that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from man. And I've always found that to be inspirational. Now, in enterprise software, the technology may not be magic, but the ability to unleash new businesses can certainly feel that way. I've always found that inspirational and fascinating for me. Yet there's a cautionary side to that quote too. No one wants to run their business on magic.
So, right.
Things like security and scalability, transparency, all that sort of thing becomes important.
Yeah, I think how frustrated we sometimes get with our basic software means that a lot of users don't often think it's magic. But
the I've been in technology for 25 years. The one common theme is that great ideas are cheap, but great execution is hard. Uh-huh. And that's true in big companies. That's true in small companies. And that frustration you're talking about is an example of when things haven't been executed the way they need to be for the customer.
That's an interesting quote. I mean, I'm going to pull that thread for a second because you're coming into a new organization that's been operating for 12 years. It seems like it had a pretty seminal idea. Clearly, Amazon and eBay and their marketplace, Miracle didn't invent the idea of a marketplace. But I think it definitely was one of the companies that popularized the idea that retailers can become their own marketplace. That's the inspiration. What's the execution that you see as you think about the next 12 months for the company? Like, what are some of the elements that you're thinking about working on at Miracle?
So, first, that initial inspiration, you're right. 12 years ago, there were other people that were exploring the marketplace concept, certainly. It's very complicated to do it at scale. And so what Miracle's created is the ability for lots of retailers to build a marketplace, which itself is figuring out the essence of what a marketplace should be, building out the technology in a way that can be scalable and super customized for because each different retailer is talking to their own customers in their own way with their own assortment. And Miracle needs to fade into the background and enable that to happen.
Right.
So there's a lot of good execution just to make that happen. As we look forward, Miracle has some new innovations that I'm quite excited about, both in the Americas market, but also broadly. Just to pick a couple of them, building a richer suite of products for sellers so that we can have a seller cockpit where they can connect to multiple different marketplaces and use the Miracle tools to streamline catalog ingestion and build their business across multiple marketplaces. It's called Miracle Connect. That is a new product for us. Miracle has started into the retail media space, enabling media across the long tail of 3P sellers is something new in the market and then a great opportunity for us. And Miracle is also taking this core fundamental of the platform and exploring B2B uses. So the consumer retail marketplace is well understood, but the same idea for wholesalers or group purchasing organizations that are enabling their franchisees looks very similar to a marketplace. They don't call it that, but it's a very similar use of the technology. So those are three growth areas that are pretty exciting for Miracle and for us in the U.S. market.
No, I mean, it definitely seems like Miracle never stops creating new products and offering for its customers. What did you find? Like, you're a few months into your role. Like, what's top of your mind? Like, what's the first thing you're just like, what surprised you coming into Miracle that maybe you wouldn't think coming from the outside?
So Miracle has a remarkable collection of engaged customers. And I've started to talk to a handful of them. I just went to our summit in London, which is where the customers in that market all get together. And there's a remarkable feeling of community that we're all sort of in this together, creating this new marketplace phenomenon, and new retailers are coming on board. And I hadn't expected that feeling of community and customers talking to each other and selling the concept to each other. It was terrific to see. So that was one surprise for me. The other surprise, and I think it's maybe part of why I'm here, is the U.S. is the world's biggest retail market, and Miracle is underrepresented relative to the potential here. Uh-huh. I mean, it is already 40% of Miracle's business, so it's not insignificant. But proportional to the market opportunity, I think there's more here that we could go take advantage of. And perhaps that's just a historical legacy of having started in Europe and and moved to other markets. But the I hadn't realized that, and that's part of the excitement why I joined it.
Yeah. First. No, I mean, 40% is no small number. So I think it gives you a good platform to work from, to say the least. You mentioned about this community and ecosystem and marketplaces. It's so fascinating. There've been a lot of concepts for this sort of idea of virtual inventory. You know, in retail, inventory is the thing that kills you. And marketplaces give you this way to offer inventory without owning it. What do you think continues to shape this idea of a marketplace and like Miracle moving kind of beyond and to ancillary concepts sort of beyond it, like retail media?
Well, so you're right. The fundamentals of the marketplace really have compelling economic properties for the retailers. But there still is a long way to go in terms of more retailers embracing the marketplace concept. And technology has made it easier than ever to be a seller. Right? So there's been a proliferation of products, brands, sellers, and an ecosystem of platforms that enable you to quickly create a business. It's terrific. And e-commerce growth is continuing to take more and more share of retail at a steady pace. There was a bubble in the pandemic, but it sort of reverted to a mean of steady growth of e-commerce. And so the need, the opportunity for a marketplace, and to some degree the need, has grown quite a bit. Retailers want to own the customer relationship they have and the brand promise they have, and there's a richer collection of products that they can bring to market. So through a marketplace arrangement. So this kind of a win-win-win for customers, for retailers, and for sellers enabled by marketplace. And that's why this growth continues. And the opportunity for Miracle is, if that ecosystem continues to grow, customers are excited, operators are excited, sellers are excited, then where do we add value? And we add value by sitting in the middle of that ecosystem, providing products for the sellers and the operators, and then enhancing the richness of what we offer them. So retail media becomes something important for sellers in the long tail that they might not have had before. We add AI to our products to make them better for both parties and simplify some of the things like catalog ingestion and so on, and make it a richer and richer product suite.
No, I think that ecosystem, I think, is one of the defining characteristics of a marketplace. What are some of the benefits? You mentioned there are wins for both sides. Like, what are the benefits for the retailer? What are the benefits for the seller and other parties?
So the benefit for retailers of a marketplace is the ability to broaden their assortment and add additional, enter into new categories they might not have been in before, and do it with a nimble supply chain, because you're not needing to carry the inventory. You can scale it up or down, or add new sellers based on market trends. So it's much more flexible and nimble way to manage your supply chain as a retailer. For sellers, it's all about channel expansion with a relatively lightweight footprint for Miracle. It's relatively lightweight software that enables you to expand multiple channels and find the right retailers that have a brand that connects with the products you have. And then for customers, you get broader assortment. You often get a broader range of price points in that assortment because of the proliferation of suppliers. And then the challenge is building the search and discovery engine to on the retailer side to help the customer actually find exactly what they're looking for. And we help on that too.
There's been somewhat of a controversial question that gets batted around in marketplace circles sometimes, is that like every retailer should be a marketplace or every retailer shouldn't be a marketplace. What are the trends that you're seeing in marketplace adoption among large retailers? And are there some scenarios where it's just like, it's not a fit for this kind of business.
Yeah, the there are lots of retailers that should embrace marketplaces. And I think what has emerged is rethinking of a marketplace as not the infinite aisle, but as a curated experience for specialty retailers. And that has broadened the thinking of retailers about who should have a marketplace and how to think about what it adds strategically. The best marketplaces are deliberately built ecosystems. It's not just a catalog expansion. It's a new business model, shares DNA with your core business. And if you think of it that way and curate the experience for your end customers, it opens up a pretty broad collection of retail operators that could and should have marketplaces.
Right. That's interesting. And I think something else we've been watching pretty closely here is kind of that intersection of marketplace and retail media or advertising on those marketplaces. I mean, Amazon obviously was the first person to do it at scale. Tens of billions of dollars in advertising revenue running through their channel. Walmart in the last 3 years has really started growing its marketplace and advertising revenue very significantly, over 30%, in between 20 and 30s, mid-30s percentage points, which kind of strikes me that, like, you can get to scale. There's flywheel that happens between the marketplace and the participants and wanting to get noticed, such that sellers are looking to basically hand over money in some sense to get noticed in places that have liquidity, which is obviously the key part. If you can't deliver sales, it doesn't matter per se, or maybe there won't be a reason to see here. Walmart has said that half of their new profit is all digital services revenue, which also includes Walmart Plus, their subscription service, but third-party sellers and fulfillment is sort of another sort of related thing. Like, talk to me a little bit about the intersection between marketplaces and retail media. Like, what is so interesting? Miracle has not historically been known as an advertising company. And so talk to me a little bit about that journey and evolution for Miracle.
You're right. Miracle has not in the past been known as much as an advertising company, but the trends you're referring to are exactly what we've heard from our customers. You can see Amazon and Walmart have done a nice job of explaining to the market first the value of marketplaces over the last few years, and then recently the value of retail media in those marketplaces. And so a number of our larger customers have said, is there a way that Miracle can help here? Because the solutions typically that they have for advertising typically don't cover the long tail of the retail of their marketplace. And so they're 3P sellers. And so Miracle said, this is exactly the type of thing that we ought to be able to play in. And we have a set of solutions. We have the Miracle Ads product that essentially enables retail operators to create retail media. We also have a product we call AdSpurt that actually enables sellers to optimize the placement of their ads on the operator's retail media system. So we're trying to support both the seller and the operator, we have advertising solutions for both, recognizing that, like we've seen already at some of the bigger players, this is going to be a core part of the ecosystem of marketplaces going forward, is the opportunity to have advertisement placement and manage that to be efficient use of advertising spend for all parties.
Got it. Is there such a thing as too much advertising on a marketplace?
As a customer, sure. I think I could speak for all of us that there can be too much. It's right. So, but that's for us, I think that's up to the retail operator to determine how big a presence they want advertising to be and how much a part of their end consumer's experience they really want that to be. So it's since our retailers are curating the experience in their choice of marketplace sellers, they can curate the experience in how much advertising they want to have. And so it allows them to have advertising as part of an integrated solution. And often it's helpful from a search standpoint to help customers find what they're looking for.
Yeah. What do you, how do retailers, I guess, curate the number of ads, you know, that I guess the distinction between introducing someone to a brand that they may not have heard of versus populating something that maybe gets in the way, like how are your customers thinking about that question?
Yeah, it's down to the inventory that they want to offer, the advertising inventory, how they manage the presence of that advertising inventory and how it appears in the customer online journey, how much of it they want to offer, and then how they position in front of their third-party sellers. So they are sensitive to how to do it right in a way that's good for the end customer, particularly, and helps them monetize the seller, their seller base as well.
Got it. And when someone comes on to Miracle, your brand, you want to offer your products on Miracle marketplaces, and now you have the advertising side, are you helping them with ads on the marketplaces that you power, or is it beyond those marketplaces? Walk me through that a little bit.
We have a product called AdSpurt that is designed to help them optimize the placement of their ads on whatever marketplace they're placing it on. Right. So AdSpurt has connections into the Amazon ad placement, Walmart ad placement, as well as Miracle marketplaces. So they have then a tool set that allows them to optimize their own advertising spend across multiple marketplace deliveries.
No, that makes sense. I didn't realize that. So I wanted also to make sure that others knew that as well. So in terms of for a brand, you're trying to be kind of that one-stop shop for a brand on their marketplace advertising outlets, or it's generally called retail media.
Yeah. So this is part of, let me step back to the philosophy of both building a complete product suite for the retail operator, which I think Miracle is well known for, but that would include advertising. But also our Connect product is building a full suite for the seller, which includes the ability to feed catalog into multiple marketplaces and the ability to manage advertising across multiple marketplaces.
Got it. No, that makes sense. Having both sides of those things. Is there something that Miracle believes about, you mentioned a couple of times about under-penetration of marketplaces in North America from Miracle's point of view relative to the size of the market. Is there something that you guys believe about the potential of the market that you think others don't see yet?
Yeah, I think there's a gradual, that's not the right term. There's a growing understanding of the marketplace opportunity that I think is different from where it was maybe 5 years ago. And I think it is rethinking the notion that it isn't about the infinite aisle. It is about a curated experience. And once you think of it that way as a retailer, it broadens your thought process on whether a marketplace makes sense. And so just this year, we've done specialty marketplaces, Lowe's, Best Buy, Ulta, for instance, Ulta Beauty. All three of those are curated experiences designed for consistent with their brand for their end customers. That's the type of thing I'm talking about that applies to many, many other retailers that are probably smaller than those three brands, but it's the same basic idea.
Got it. And so I think the idea behind that is, you don't have to be, your aspiration doesn't need to include competing with Amazon or Walmart to have a marketplace. And so is there something different in how retailers plan their assortment in those categories? How do they figure out like what's core versus what adjacencies to tackle? Is that, what questions are they asking when they think about that curated opportunity?
So that is a, it's great that you bring that up. That is an active discussion with each customer because they are wrestling with, to what degree do I use a marketplace for category extension outside of my core versus to what degree do I use it for assortment expansion within my core? And the answer, of course, is they do both. And each our customers have a varying degrees of doing both of those two things. Our experience is that the more you have integrated into the core, the more successful your marketplace is going to be. Yeah. And so first it starts that marketplace is a core part of your e-commerce offering. You don't click here for marketplace is
right. It's not a thing.
It's got to be embedded into your core business. And the more you bring more core categories as well, those tend to be the most successful marketplaces where it's both the core categories and the adjacent or new categories that are all in the marketplace combined into the e-commerce mix.
Yeah, if there's any better evidence of this than Amazon itself tried to launch one of these click here for marketplace type expansions, and even they couldn't make it work. They had a separate tab for marketplace called, Z Shops, and they had an auction site before that. And it wasn't until they put it in their core experience that it started to work. And so I think that sounds like what you're picking up on here.
That is exactly right. The customer comes to a particular retailer because of their brand affiliation with that retailer. Right. They just want to search and find the products they're looking for, and they don't particularly care where they're sourced from.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do I want to source twice? You bring up an interesting point. It's something I've always agreed with, that marketplace is a supply chain tool, meaning like when you start a marketplace, you have to have the demand. Meaning if your site is empty, you kind of have a little bit of this cold start problem. People don't know why you're there, what inventory is going to show up. But if you have a business where there's a healthy demand, people looking for things that maybe they're not yet satisfied by, or you think you could satisfy an interest for a unique demographic, marketplace is a way to get more supply to them. Is that how your customers are seeing it as well?
Let me say it a little bit differently. Customers say there's a reason that their end customer comes to the retailer. There's something about their brand promise that have engaged their end customers. You're right. It starts with that. So you have customers that are coming to you because there's something they associate with your brand. They're then buying products you have, and then they're going elsewhere for the products you don't. And so the marketplace allows you to essentially further monetize your customers. This is why the notion of curation is important. Further monetize the customer base that you have, capture greater share of wallet in products that they would associate with the brand and the reason they come to your shop in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely something I think that's relevant for people in the audience, is understanding why the customer is there in the first place. Like, what job are they trying to solve? And starting to think about, is it expensive to stock this item? Is it widely available in third part? Like if I was able to collect third party seller inventory from around the country, around the world, could that provide a unique value to our customers? Are there any other things that people are thinking about in terms of new supply?
They are looking for nimbleness of supply because of changing trends, particularly things like fashion, where the trends change quickly, and you want to be able to see what's happening in the marketplace, the market, and then enable that within your marketplace. And so, if you look at, we'll take Shein and Temu, examples of a terrific representation of tracking market signal and quickly turning that into product you could sell. That doesn't apply for everybody else, but the notion of market is giving us the signal of products we need. Can we flex up and down within our marketplace the ability to offer those sorts of products and use it as a way to test new categories. At some point, you might pull those into the core first party, but you're testing trends and enabling your customers to take advantage of them.
Got it.
That nimble supply chain aspect is something that is increasingly something customers talk to us about, in addition, of course, to the core products that they've already curated.
Yeah, I mean, I think that nimbleness of supply chain is definitely something that I think fast fashion definitely pioneered, but Shein like perfected as an art form, almost launching thousands of SKUs, you know, a day or something like that. And I think a lot of retailers and brands in particular don't appreciate the capabilities that a marketplace allows them, because they don't have to stock all the products up front. Not only do they not have to stock the products, they can decide what to stock based on what's working. And so there's the line between someone else offers it and I offered it doesn't have to be black and white. Can you talk a little bit about like how those sorts of things blend, you know, over time, if a merchant or a retailer can be smart about how they're sourcing?
Yeah, so it takes, the merchants have to be obviously right on top of what the market trends are. Typically, you've got long-standing relationships with the supply base for the products that you have 1P, and maybe even for the regular sets of things that you have 3P, that third party. The trick is, how do I track the trends with enough conviction to say, now it's time to bring something like that into my marketplace? And we have customers with different sort of thresholds of when they're convinced that it's worth trying. And they'll onboard some sellers in a particular new category. Some wait a little longer for longevity of trends. Some move faster. And there are sellers that are out there that have the new product that are on trend that are willing to engage quickly with the operator. One of the things that's important enabler here is it's a solution offered by Miracle, but we're using AI to rapidly speed up ingestion of a catalog. That's actually, that could be complicated for a new seller coming on to a new marketplace to put their catalog up.
Right.
And if you can shorten that time, it just, again, speeds up the time from market signal to product available on my website. And marketplace is the way to do it.
Yeah, I think those capabilities are definitely needed. And, you know, there's a lot to get right. And there's also a lot to avoid doing wrong when you're launching a marketplace. So I would love to finish up on an interesting question. Like, you're a US retailer who's in the audience, you're thinking about launching a marketplace. What couldn't you afford like not to screw up? Like
the we've talked about some of these. First, it's got to be integrated. Your market to be successful, your marketplace has to be integrated in your core business.
Uh-huh.
As we talked about earlier, you cannot have click here for marketplace.
Right, right.
That's point number one. I think point number two is bring the marketplace into your core categories in addition to the adjacencies that you're exploring. If you just are trying to add adjacencies, it will always be just a small part of your retail business.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start adding your core in there, the marketplace becomes a much richer part of the business. So. Mm. To be honest, those two ideas,
right,
integrate in your core e-commerce offering and integrate into your core category selection, assortment selection, are two of the main tickets for marketplace success in US and everywhere else.
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating question, because still today it feels like so many people get it wrong. Even now, because you think about it, it makes logical sense. So you have a $100 million business. You launch in a category that no one knows you have now. You know, it's a little bit like the tree falling in the woods. Like, yeah, you might get some sales, but it's not going to dent that $100 million number anytime soon.
There was a time when e-commerce itself was a bolt-on business that created channel conflict. If you wrote that, it's back in the old days. We're long past that.
Right,
sometimes, if that's how you're starting your approach to marketplace, then there's a new set of thinking to realize it's not that, it's actually, it's strategic and core and central to your business.
Yeah. No, I think this is a good place to wrap up, because I ultimately think it's one of, I completely agree with you. It's one of the core principles to a successful marketplace is it has to be something the buyer naturally sees as part of your range. And as a result, has a reason to keep coming back because they keep finding fresh new things that they didn't expect.
It's like so much other great technology, when it fades into the background and you don't really even realize that you as a customer are involved in a marketplace, you're just going to the retailer you love and they've got a richer selection of products, and there's a surprise and delight moment. That's what we're trying to achieve.
No, that's great. Any last words for our listeners that you wanted to leave with us?
Can I make a plug for our summit in New York? And of course, Rick, you'll be on stage at that summit in New York.
Yeah, I'm excited to be there.
Miracle's got our annual retail summit in New York on June 25th. A bunch of our large customers like Macy's and Best Buy and Ulta will all be there, as well as a number of others. It's a great opportunity to learn more about the marketplace opportunity for retailers of all sizes. And of course, great opportunity to meet Rick Watson.
I'm happy to meet anybody who comes out, and I'll encourage people to attend as well.
Rick.
This has been a great time, Scott. I appreciate you coming by the program, and look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Rick. Nice to see you.
All right. Thanks.